Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Michael, here's one from Melissa Davis.
I was raised in a Christian home. I went to a Christian school. Well, I was married. I had a house. I've held a bunch of different, I'm a certified medical assistant. I'm certified nail tech. I'm a certified preschool teacher. Like, I had a very good relationship with God probably up until the time I was maybe 20. And then life got in the way, worldly pleasures got in the way, and I began to drift and do my own things. About 4.5 years ago, I was actually in jail in Broward County. I weighed about 90 pounds. I was essentially homeless. And at that point, I was pretty much a hopeless dope fiend. I had a felony drug possession, and I was at a lost point. So I remember being in there in the county, and I was with about 28 other women, and we were at capacity. And after being there about 10 days, they did a prostitution sting, which took place in Hollywood. So after that happened, they brought in about two dozen hookers at that time. So I was in the middle of a day room with women that were playing cards, sleeping on the floor. It was completely overcrowded. It was hot. It was steamy at that time. And I remember it was very loud. I was on the phone with my mom that day, and I remember I had been there 10 days. And my mom and I were going back and forth about where I was going to live when I got out, what I was going to do, and essentially, was I going to finally put my life back together? And we couldn't come to an agreement. So I remember slamming down the phone and walking through the day room as tough as you can, because you're in jail and you're in a situation where you have to appear very tough. But I was trying to swagger back to my cell. And I remember, even though I was walking through the room and it was very loud, I distinctly heard a woman say, "I'm a hooker and I still have all my teeth." And at that moment, I realized that God was meeting me where I was, and he was speaking a language that I would understand. At that moment, I turned around and I said, did you just brag about having all of your teeth? And I didn't wait for her to respond. Who knows what kind of a response I would have gotten, but I didn't wait for her to respond, because all I had in my mind at that time was the voice of my higher power, the voice that I knew was going to take me out of this. And it was a voice telling me, I didn't create you to brag about having all your teeth. Like, I knew at that moment I wasn't supposed to be there and that I was going to have a way out. So God met me where I was, and he spoke a language that I understood, and he spoke it loudly. And I learned that day that there's no place that he won't go. There's no place too low for him to meet you and to speak the language that you'll understand. Probably 2 weeks later, I did get released from jail, and I enrolled in a year-long program through the county to get my charges dropped and to hopefully get myself better. So as I was going through this program, I had missed one of my mandatory meetings. So because I missed this meeting, I got some community service hours. So I remember driving to those community service hours, which was to take place at the Habitat for Humanity in downtown Fort Lauderdale. And I was talking to God on my way there again. And I remember thinking and saying to him, "Okay, God, what's the worst thing that they can make me do? They can make me scrub a couple toilets. Like, that's the worst thing I can do." And at that time, my humility was sinking away and a bit of cockiness was sinking in. So God had to get loud with me again, and as usual, he used his sense of humor. And just like he does, sometimes I feel like he parts the clouds so Peter, James, and John could come by and maybe peek down at what's about to happen. I feel like sometimes he's like, oh, Gabriel, put down that trumpet. Like, I've got a story for you to watch down here. So I reported for my community service. They assigned me to a room, and you won't even believe what awaited me there. It was about 24 toilets that had been removed from an apartment building, and they were going to be reused for the Habitat for Humanity. So kind of was like shaking my fist at the sky, like, ah. But as I have continued on my journey with sobriety, it's been over 4.5 years now. My life has gotten put together in amazing ways. I've had relationships that were rebuilt, a relationship with my daughter that's amazing, a relationship with my parents. They're my biggest supporters. They're like president of my fan club, I call them. I've been able to graduate from Palm Beach State College. I work really hard at being a straight-A student at FAU now, and I'm set to graduate next year. But it hasn't been all cupcakes and rainbows. It hasn't been all, you know, easy peasy, just things are great. Within the first year that I was sober, my daughter had to have 2 major back surgeries. My dad had quintuple bypass surgery, open heart surgery. And my very best friend from the time I've been 10 years old got diagnosed with cancer and had to have major surgery. And so you can imagine I spent a lot of time in hospitals then, like sitting by people that I loved, who I wanted to make feel better. It wasn't the greatest of times. And I remember praying to God and thinking to myself and you know, knowing that he hears me and he understands that this isn't what I got sober for. This can't be it, God. And he spoke to me again, and he spoke loudly, but in a loud whisper. And he said, you know, this is what you got sober for. You can be a good, a responsible mother. You can sit here by your child. You can sit there for your dad, and you can make them feel better. You can be there for your mom. You can be the type of friends that people wish that they had and that people are proud to have. So, and also because of my relationship that I've had with God, it's given me the courage to be able to tell my story today. This is only the second time I've told it out loud. And I've been able to turn from a hopeless dope fiend into a dopeless hope fiend. And it's a pretty amazing way to live.
Melissa Davis with a story about recovery.
And so much more, Michael. Yes, first and foremost, we find this presumably middle-class woman, married woman, mother, in a situation that I don't think would wish on our worst enemies. And the transformation in a lot of ways, not just in terms of recovery, but in terms of being able to listen again and being able to connect again, it's really quite astounding.
It's also quite obvious that she had help from a higher power.
Yes. One of the things I like about this story so much is that Melissa was very judicious with when she chose to put something into scene, that is, when she chose to have dialogue, when she chose to have sense details, and when she chose to just tell things in summary. So she's going along, she's in prison, she's summarizing how she got there, da 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 da. And then all of a sudden, in the steamy room, this loud room, she walks in, she swaggers in, and she hears this voice. And this voice is not at first coming from God. The voice is coming from a hooker, but it is one of those moments. The fact that we have that juxtaposition of the hooker's voice and then of God's voice in her head is a really powerful moment in the story. She's gone from one extreme to the other in her life, in her heart. And I don't mean to say this in a psychotic sense, but in the voices she's hearing, in what she's listening to in herself.
I find it strange that just that one sentence, "I still have my teeth," could make it all clear for her.
Well, that's a really good point. If I may interpret a little bit, we know in fact, I think I heard it on NPR, that one of the signs of a low socioeconomic level is to have really bad teeth. So we often, whether consciously or not, judge people based on how many teeth they have. And that the fact that somebody makes that statement tells her a couple of things. One, it tells her what environment she's in. And the other, as she says quite clearly, is that all that this woman has to be proud of? Is what do I have to be proud of? Is having my teeth all I have to be proud of?
It's also kind of unusual that juxtaposed against cleaning toilets and how she was okay with cleaning toilets, but the teeth really mattered.
I love that you brought that up. You know, Gandhi used to clean toilets and talk about spirituality, talk about somebody in touch with a higher power. It may be another religion, but people the world over generally dislike cleaning toilets. And apparently he made a point of doing it to show that he was not above that lowliest of tasks. So the fact that in real life, that very strong symbol comes across, I just love when life stories are so symbolic like that. Gandhi knew there was nothing lower. So she had really reached rock bottom, not only in her imagination, but actually in her prison work.
I sometimes am envious of people who have such a close relationship with God, but it's interesting how she thought God told her to just be able to sit and listen to people, and her purpose was to just be with people.
Well, she did say that she was raised with religion, so she had that foundation already. And I think it was wonderful that she was able to draw on that at such a desperate time, and that she was able to make that her strength.
And any change is difficult, but such a drastic change in your life and to create a new relationship with family, that's a beautiful story.
It's a beautiful story. And you know, one of the things that we say makes a story, at least in our culture, is this transformation that not only the storyteller, not only the subject of the story, the protagonist in the story, but the listener goes through some sort of change, some sort of transformation, either by learning something or by feeling something, hopefully by feeling something in the course of a story. And this one really fills the bill.
Well, it's a beautiful story for the holidays. Thank you for bringing it in, Karen. If our listeners have a story they'd like to share, how can they get in touch with you?
Please send me an email at cneilecneil@fau.edu.
Our website also has contact information as well as archive stories, wlrn.org. Click on Radio and the Public Storyteller. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.